Hello, John.
Yes. I have a slab house.
Yes.
And it's got a furnace and a hot water heater in the same area with a combustible air.
Okay.
And I want to go from a 30-gallon hot water heater to a 40. And I have a 4x10 combustible air in there now, a piece of duck.
Yes.
And I have a high-efficiency furnace. Can I make that combustible air any smaller?
Well, you should be able to, because most of the high-efficient furnaces have their own built-in, you know, combustion air.
Yes.
You know, usually it's kind of part of it. You know, that's the way it used to be. But the answer to that question is always, believe it or not. I mean, this is really critical. This is a building code issue. So, and the codes are always in a constant state of flux. So, what part of town do you live in?
White Oak.
Okay, so you'd be Hamilton County. So, it's just a simple phone call on Monday morning to the Hamilton County, you know, building department, and you want to talk with the heating, you know, and cooling inspector, you know, because they have a different inspector for the heating and cooling. And they're the ones that actually look at the combustion air. You know, so, you know, but I can tell you this, in my opinion, you can't have too much of that. You can't have too much combustion air. And also, a lot of what it does, too, sometimes people don't realize, we also call them, I call it a makeup air unit. In other words, you can have all kinds of backdrafting problems in houses. If your house is built really, really tightly, let's say you've got, do you have a central vacuum?
No.
Do you have exhaust fans for your bathrooms?
Yes.
Okay, think about this. Let's think about it. It's wintertime. All of a sudden, two people turn on exhaust fans in the bathrooms. Do you have one in the kitchen?
No.
No, okay. So you've got this air being blown out of the house. So how's that air getting replaced? You know, you've got the windows closed, the doors closed. You did all these energy-efficient things, and you caulked all the cracks around your house. So where's the air coming from? You know, well, what happens in certain situations, believe it or not, if the draw is strong enough, it actually sucks air back down a chimney, and people actually die of carbon monoxide poisoning. But if you have a – that's what the whole purpose of this combustion air thing is. And it also can be what we call makeup air to make up and resupply the air to the house – that's sucked out by other things. Like in my case, we've got a central vac unit, and I'm telling you what, I stand outside where the exhaust port of that central vac is, and it feels like a hair dryer. You know how much air comes out of a blow dryer?
Yep.
I mean, it's like, wow, there's a lot of air moving through that central vac. And I mean, if I didn't have a makeup air unit in my own home, you'd almost think that the house would implode, you know, or the house would shrink like a balloon deflating. So if you can still live with that unit, that size, just stay with it. I mean, it can't hurt you.
Well, the problem I have is it's right over the water meter.
Yeah.
And it's froze already when it got real cold.
Well, then why don't we relocate it?
That's all I was going to do, and I just want to see if I can make it smaller or whatever.
Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you take and just put some duct work on it? You know, in other words, wherever the opening is, you know, coming into the water, into the house, because what's happening is that cold air is dropping on top of the water meter. So why don't you have a heating and air conditioning guy duct it and make it so that air is kind of just brought up and around to another part of the room or taken 6-7 feet away. You see what I mean? In other words, just make the air take a right or left-hand turn if possible. So it doesn't dump right on top of the water meter.
Well, I was going to put it on the back side, but I was figuring if I can use the 4-inch PVC or something and just run it down and then completely move it.
Yeah, anything. But I sure would not reduce the size, so I can tell you that.
Okay.
You need every bit of that air. I mean, that's the size I have at my house. I've got a – mine's actually like 14 – actually, my makeup air and combustion air is probably 14 – it's the full width of a joist space, 14.5 inches by probably 8 inches high.
Okay.
It's a big one.
I got one more question.
Go right ahead, sure.
When you cut treated lumber, do you have to seal it again?
No, not at all.
We're on a job and they say you do.
Well, I can't even imagine the guy that's going to be who would know the answer to that question is going to be on the show here in about 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes, and I'm going to ask him that question, but I have never heard of that. The whole purpose of treated lumber, when you think about it, if you know how it's treated, is it's actually put into a vacuum chamber. And I mean, they actually, those chemicals are just sucked all the way into the wood. I mean, the whole idea is for every square cubic inch of that lumber has been treated with a chemical. So if you cut it in half, you know, you're cutting right into the, it's no different than the end of the wood, you know, as far as the treatment process.
So if it needs treated again, can you tell me what to treat it with?
Well, I've never heard of it because I'll be honest with you, I have never heard of that at all. I mean, the only thing I could think of is if it was some type of surface treatment of the lumber. For example, let's say that let's just say you maybe soaked the lumber in a borate solution. You know, like where you made a trough. You took a piece of lumber that was 10 feet long, and you dipped it into this borate solution, and the water just kind of soaks in a little bit. So now you cut that wood in half, and of course, down at the ends of the wood, you know how a tree, you know how a piece of lumber looks under a microscope, don't you?
Yep.
It looks like if you took a bunch of straws, I mean, like a big wad of drinking straws, and you just pushed them all together, that's what a 2x4 is like. So the ends of the 2x4 have all these little open holes, and so that stuff can soak in. Well, the problem is, if you're just doing it under gravity, maybe those solutions only soak in an inch or two. So if you cut the lumber, now all of a sudden you've exposed a fresh end, just like they tell you when you go to get a live Christmas tree, you're always supposed to cut the end off, you know, to open up those wood pores to be able to so that the tree can suck in the sugar water, you know, in your living room. Okay, well, this is the situation in reverse. The only thing I can think of is if it's some type of surface treatment and you cut the wood, now you've exposed the ends of the lumber that never got treated. That's the only thing I can think.
Well, it's on a commercial job for roof blocking, and they say when you cut it, they want it resealed.
Well, and it says ACQ lumber. This is the green ACQ treated lumber.
Yes.
Well, we're going to find out here in about 20 minutes because we're going to ask that to Richard Kleiner of the Southern Pine Council. Maybe I'll learn something today.
Okay.
Okay, so you're going to still be on. You're going to still be listening?
Yes.
Okay, John, I'll ask her a question. Believe me, I've got it written down here.
Okay.
Okay, buddy. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye.